Hello, good morning. I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health. Get ready to learn about superfood, super nutrition, and why it is important to keep a food diary and more from Cynthia Sass, a nationally known nutrition and health expert based in New York City. For years, Cynthia has been a go-to resource for the media. She has appeared on The Today Show, Good Morning America, The Early Show, The Rachel Ray Show, The Biggest Loser, The Morning Show with Mike and Juliet, ABC World News Tonight, CNN, Extra, MSNBC, Fox News Live, and others, as well as local news programs in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, Dallas, Cleveland, Tampa, and Philadelphia. Cynthia has a BS in nutrition and dietetics, a master's degree in public health, is a registered dietitian, and is a board certified as a specialist in sports dietetics. She is the author of Your Diet is Driving Me Crazy, When Food Conflicts Get in the Way of Your Love Life, the co-author and nutritionist behind the New York Times bestseller Flat Belly Diet and Flat Belly Diet Cookbook, and her latest book, which we'll be talking about today, The Ultimate Diet Log. Cynthia, welcome to It's Your Health.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me on today. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yes, I'm very glad to have you on. Now, in the beginning of your terrific book, The Ultimate Diet Log, you write a story. You write about a study done by Cornell researchers who turned a hidden camera on patrons at an Italian restaurant. You write, 5 minutes after the meal, they asked the diners how much bread they'd eaten. The camera showed that the diners ate nearly 30% more bread than they thought they'd eaten. Remarkably, 12% of the bread eaters denied having touched the bread at all. Now, I wasn't surprised how people ate more bread than they realized, but I was pretty surprised when people didn't even realize that they were eating the bread. Either that or they were just maybe fibbing a little bit.
I think that actually there's a lot of unawareness about what you eat. I see people all the time, they'll walk by, you know, at the supermarket or at, you know, even the farmer's market, there's all kinds of free samples.
Mm-hmm.
And people will sort of mindlessly grab something, put it in their mouth, keep walking. And at the same time, they're thinking about things in their head, they're observing. They may be completely unaware that they just ate something. It sounds odd, but it's true. And because, you know, there's so much going on in our minds sometimes. It's like when you go to the movies, if you've ever had popcorn at the movies, sometimes you hit the bottom of the bag and you think, how can this be gone already?
I just started.
So, yeah, there's a lot of mindless and sort of unawareness about it, especially when we go out to dinner. We're, you know, having time with friends or family. We're enjoying ourselves. Maybe a glass of wine was involved. So it's pretty easy to forget about things. In fact, when I meet with clients one-on-one, I will ask them, you know, sort of about their typical food intake. And what I find is when they tell me things, they do leave things out. And I really have to prompt them and say, well, did you have anything to drink with that? Did you have anything on the side? Did you have anything after any, you know, what about mint? What about gum? There's all kinds of things that people eat that they just forget about.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you also talk about how people, that most people actually think they eat more nutritiously than they actually do. So not only are they eating sort of mindlessly, but they think they're eating healthier things than they actually are.
Yes. You know what? I find that people tend to compare themselves to people who eat worse than they do.
Yeah.
So, and that's one thing I love about this Ultimate Diet Log is it really gives you a reality check, but it's not meant to be intimidating or make you feel bad about yourself. It's really just meant to really help you sort of turn the lights on about what's going on with your eating and really get to the reality of how well are you meeting the current recommendations for things like whole grains and fruits and vegetables. Because I just had a woman, a new client the other day who said, you know, I really do feel like I'm doing really great. I've made a lot of wonderful changes, but I just want to make sure I'm on track and, you know, tweak a little bit here or there if I need to. Well, it turned out when we went through her eating, she had not consistently met the minimum recommendations for fruits or vegetables in the past month.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and it's so great
yeah,
that
she was
had
eating more. Yeah,
and that you said she had it written down.
Well, she was eating more than she had before, mm-hmm. but she was still off from what the kind of gold standard is. So in her mind, she was definitely doing better and had made progress. But we know so much. There's so much research out there, and of course, all of our anecdotal experience and our experience over the years of how critical it is. If you could just do one thing, getting those 5 cups, you know, 5 baseballs worth of fruits and vegetables every single day is probably the most important thing that you can do for your health, because it's just linked to cutting down that risk of every chronic disease out there, helping manage weight, building up your blood antioxidant levels. So really, even when we looked at her diet, she wasn't really hitting the mark even on whole grains. She was very inconsistent with water. So I think it's important that while you want to always progress and reach goals and then set a new goal, you do need to keep in mind, well, where am I trying to get to? You know, what's kind of my ultimate goal?
Yeah, you know, you mentioning the goals, in your ultimate diet log, you talk about some of the key features, such as the flexible format and the goal setting. What are some other key features, and how is this diet log different from others?
Well, what I really like about it was Suzanne Schlossberg, my co-author, and I, what we got together, now Suzanne had done the ultimate fitness blog, which was very successful, so this is kind of a companion to that. And when we got together and talked about it, I've known Suzanne for a long time, and we've worked together before, and, you know, we said, how can we make this different? And I always go back to my clinical experience. I'm in private practice. I have been for 15 years. So I have worked with hundreds of people one-on-one and couples and families, and I think back to what does it take for an individual? It's really different, you know, for example, Flat Belly Diet, the book is really has to be a book that anyone who goes to the bookstore and buys it or picks it up on Amazon can somehow get some useful information out of. And in the Ultimate Diet Log, we've been able to make it so that if you are, let's say, 6'2", and you work for UPS, you have a really busy job, this can help you. If you're 4'11" and you sit at a desk all day, this can help you. That's really hard to do in a book, but we've been able to do it because what we've done is I created sort of an assessment in the beginning of the book where you do keep your food diary, you track every single thing you put into your mouth, every sip of any fluid that you've had, and then you kind of score it. So by scoring it, you find out where your strongest areas are, where your weakest areas are, and then you sort of look at things like, what do you think you're going to get the most out of changing? How do you decide if you're going to only work on a few things at a time and really, really track those things consistently until you meet your goal and feel like it's become a normal behavior for you now, then move on to another goal? How do you go about doing that? So that's what I do with my clients one-on-one. And I have found that it's really difficult to take that experience that you get from meeting with a practitioner one-on-one and put it into a book, but I feel like we've been able to do that here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a wonderful book, and you give helpful tips and suggestions. And I think it's the awareness and being mindful of what you're eating. And like you said, every sip you take and writing it down and having it there in front of you, so you can look at the end of the month, how many fruits and vegetables have I increased or what. And you can see how things have changed, and that must make people feel good, too.
You know, it's like when I was in school getting my master's in public health, we learned, you know, quite a bit about public health programs out there. And for a long time, public health programs weren't tracked. They were sort of, you know, meant to raise awareness about things and get people educated, but they didn't really track results. And unless you do that, you never know if something's really working. You know, you can have every intention in the world every day of your life of accomplishing a goal. But if you never check back in with yourself and see how well you're doing, you know, you might not ever get anywhere. Yeah. So that is a really critical part of this. And I think, again, it's, you know, the book has a little humor in it. It's meant to be sort of a coaching. I always call myself the food coach. So it's meant to be a very coaching style, not at all meant to be like a food police type of thing. Because that doesn't work. We don't respond very well to that as humans, right?
Yeah,
we don't want to feel bad about ourselves. We want to feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
So this can help you really meet some goals and feel accomplishment.
You know, you also, at the end of each week, you have a weekly wrap-up. And again, it's sort of looking back over. If you can tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that every week it's sort of like right now I'm learning how to play the guitar, which I'm really excited about because it's something I've always wanted to do and I've never done it. And I'm learning about, you know, a measure of music, it's 4 beats. And, you know, I kind of think that we need sort of a way of breaking up our lives. And it seems to make sense to break it up week by week because, you know, a couple of days, I mean, yeah, you do want to keep your food journal on a daily basis and you can check in with yourself certainly at the end of the day and ask yourself some questions. How did I do today? If I could go back and do things differently, what would I have done differently today? But I think doing that on a weekly basis is a little bit more practical because, you know, every week, you know, we sort of have an ebb and flow to our week and we can reflect back on the week and say, what went well this week? What didn't go so well? For the things that didn't go so well, what sort of got in my way? If I could go back, what would I have done differently? So you reflect with those sort of questions and then you set up yourself for the coming week to maybe be able to knock down some of those barriers, give yourself some more support. So people have told me that I've used the Ultimate Diet Log that it has helped them to see that, you know what, maybe I really need to make my lunch at night and bring it with me in the morning, because I get so harried and crazy in the morning that I just don't do it sometimes. So when they really reflect and kind of answer these questions, you know, they're really able to come up with some solutions that really work and help them to be able to, you know, have that success. And when you feel success, when you look at that week and you say, you know, things went really well this week, you just feel so good, and it's so empowering, and it makes you want to do even more. So I think that's really exciting.
I think it's terrific. And I wanted to say that I had read online that one reader wrote about the book. She said, thank you for your work you put into the Ultimate Diet Log. In a market that is saturated with diet tips, tricks, and journals, yours stands out. It's easy to keep track of, fun to write, and easy to read. I purchased the Ultimate Diet Log at Barnes & Noble after flipping through each diet journal they offered. Yours was the only one with flexibility in meal times, an exercise log, and tons of pertinent information. Thanks, Sarah Berger. So, everybody.
Thank you, Sarah Berger. I tell you, when I, you know, being a person who still works with clients one-on-one as a practitioner, but then I also, you know, work sort of with the media and I'm able to reach people in a larger, you know, people I would never be able to meet face to face. When I get a letter from someone like that, I literally get goosebumps. I get so happy to know that something that I worked on was able to help someone that I can't touch personally one-on-one. So I really appreciate when people do, you know, put those reviews up and how this has helped them. Because one thing, you know, as all of us who are health practitioners, I went into this to help people. You know, it was a personal journey for me. I had some family members who died at younger ages from health problems, and I really thought, gosh, you know, you could prevent a disease by how you eat? That's fascinating. So I went into college knowing that I wanted to be a nutritionist, and I've never looked back. I can't imagine doing anything else. I love it, love it, love it, and it's so exciting for me to be able to help people live healthier, better lives.
Oh my gosh, you're singing my tune. I mean, that's why, because I have a master's in public health too, and I, you know, created the show to have people on like you who are so gifted at what they do to spread the word and to help people. And I get same thing, and when I get letters or emails from listeners that, oh, I heard Cynthia on the show, or I heard, you know, it's such a great feeling, you know, to know that I have a platform.
Wonderful domino effects all over the world, hopefully.
Yeah, oh yeah, I have people listening in South Africa and Greece and Australia. It's pretty cool. Now, I wanted to mention in your flat belly diet, you talk a lot about something called a MUFA. If you could help, because this is going to bring us into the superfoods. What is it?
Okay.
And why is it good? And unless we'll talk a little bit about superfoods, too.
Okay. MUFA is so much more fun to say than what it stands for. It stands for monounsaturated fatty acids. Now, I have to say right away that it's unsaturated, because sometimes when I say monounsaturated, people just hear that word saturated and they think, ooh, that's bad. I know that saturated is something you want to try to avoid. Now, we know a little bit more now that it even depends on what type of saturated, because the saturated fats from, say, coconut oil are going to react differently in your body than the saturated fat from, say, a big old piece of fatty steak with grizzle on it. So I want to say that MUFAs are monounsaturated, and they are the very heart-healthy kinds of fats that are found in plant-based foods, which just happen to be really delicious foods like olive oil and avocados and things like dark chocolate, nuts and seeds and natural nut butters. So when we eat these MUFAs, or monounsaturated fatty acids, they do a whole host of things in our body. They really go to work. In fact, there was a newer study that just came out that showed that women who had dark chocolate once a day for just 7 days knocked down the lousy, bad LDL cholesterol by 6% and pumped up the good, happy HDL cholesterol by 9% in just 1 week. I think that is amazing. So one thing that MUFAs do is they lower the bad cholesterol, they up the good cholesterol, they reduce inflammation in the body, which we know is a trigger of premature aging and disease. They help keep the arteries nice and clean and clear and flexible, because when our arteries get unflexible and hard, they get damaged, and that can lead to a heart attack or a stroke risk. MUFAs have been tied to a lower risk of things like breast cancer, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome. They've also been linked to better cognitive function, especially with aging, so helping our brain sort of stay young, and even a longer lifespan. So I am in love with MUFAs. I think they're one of the most important nutrients in our diet, and I do recommend eating a MUFA at every meal.
You know, it's so funny, because when you mentioned the chocolate, I did a show a few months back with Monica Bearden, who's a co-author of Chocolate, A Healthy Passion. I eat about probably 4 little dark squares of dark chocolate every day, and I recently had my cholesterol tested, and it was like 220 or something, and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, wait, I got to see what the HDL is. Well, my HDL is over 100. Now I'm thinking, I don't exercise and stuff, because that's something everyone should keep in mind. When you get your cholesterol checked, you got to find out your HDL, because if that's high, it's going to push the overall number high. But now I'm thinking, just listening to you, oh man, maybe it's all that dark chocolate.
There was a study that just, I think it was just last week, showing that heart attack survivors who ate chocolate, dark chocolate, just twice a week, cut their risk of dying from heart disease threefold. So, those antioxidants that are in dark chocolate as well really do relax blood vessels. You know that there's a lot of foods, watermelon is another good example, that they help release the nitric oxide that basically just really opens up the blood vessels so blood flow can get through better. I work with a lot of athletes, so this becomes important with athletes, because when you're out there performing on the field, you want your circulation to be really free-flowing, because it's going to deliver oxygen and nutrients to your brain and your nervous system and your muscles. So this kind of relaxing and opening of blood vessels reduces blood pressure, and that takes all that pressure off those arteries so they won't get as damaged. And I always kind of try to explain that as, think of a garden hose and it's been laying out in the sun and it gets really dried out and cracked and inflexible. And then when you put a lot of force of water through it, sometimes it leaks it's become so damaged and cracked. And that's kind of what happens in our arteries. So the more we can keep those nice and open and flexible and soft, the better off we are. And we know that when you eat a high saturated fat meal, the bad kind of saturated fat, even within hours of eating that meal, so not just accumulating over one's life, but up to 1 to 3 hours after that meal, you start to have a lowering of the good HDL, an increase in the bad LDL, and an accumulation of cholesterol that ends up getting oxidized, which means, it essentially hardens and becomes damaged, triggers an immune system reaction that creates all sorts of inflammation in the body. So every single meal is an opportunity to basically make your body work in its optimal way or to potentially damage your body. So I think it's very exciting how much we're learning. I mean, I got my bachelor's degree in nutrition dietetics a long time ago, 1992. And so what we have learned since then is amazing. We're learning more every single day. And I think it's so exciting because now everybody is interested in kind of food as medicine. And I always say, kitchen cabinet, not medicine cabinet. And when I first started out as a nutritionist, that really wasn't true. People only went to see a nutritionist if they were sick, they had a food allergy, something was wrong with them. Now we all know that we can use this as a tool to cut our own healthcare costs. I have so many people who say, I'm wearing the same clothes I wore 10 years ago because I'm the same size because of managing my nutrition. Or I don't need that medication anymore at the pharmacy that I was paying $100 a month for because of my nutrition. And certainly its role in helping us be energetic and enjoy life and be independent is amazing. So I think that the power of food is just incredible, and I love to talk about it.
No, it's great because, when you and I were, it sounds like we're in school around the same time, I don't even think they had the term superfood. The MUFAs, obviously, I mean, we find MUFAs in, you were saying, the oils and the nuts and the seeds and in olives. And what about looking at blueberries? I know they're a superfood. What are some others? And what do you find in those that are helpful?
There are so many superfoods now. I think in my experience, we are learning about new superfoods every day because I just went to a conference recently that was entirely about berries. And I came away with some, and I keep up on the literature. I mean, I probably read at least 1 hour every day just to keep up on the new studies. But I came away from this conference learning even more. For example, we're now learning that some of the foods that we eat can actually help to prevent the UV radiation from damaging our skin.
Wow.
Now, that's incredible.
Incredible.
And now we're finding that certain foods, one is tomatoes, can help to increase the pro-collagen in our skin, which makes our skin really nice and youthful.
All right, I'm going to get some tomatoes. I'm on my way.
Having, having some extra virgin olive oil can actually boost the antioxidants that help to do that. So you want to have that with some olive oil.
Okay.
And so when we do that, we retain a more youthful skin because, of course, as we age and our collagen is reduced, that's where we get the sagging and the wrinkles.
Yeah.
So we're just learning more. But in my definition of superfoods, it's a food that contains extraordinary nutrients. It could be vitamins or minerals. So, for example, vitamin A, the beta carotene from our carrots, you know, all those things that are orange and sometimes very dark green leafy vegetables, those help form the mucous membrane in our nasal passages, our mouth, actually our entire digestive lining, which is 35 feet long. And when we form a more protective barrier, we keep things out of our body that we don't want to get in, like viruses. So all the talk of the H1N1, we want to protect ourselves. And if you can eat more beta carotene, more vitamin A from plant-based foods, you can build a better barrier to keep viruses out. So if you happen to inhale when someone has sneezed, perhaps that virus won't get into your body because that barrier is going to keep it out. So how amazing is that? So all these foods that we know, ginger, a lot of whole grains, apples, I mean, pretty much any fruit and vegetable on the planet is a superfood, in my opinion. Certainly green tea, black tea, oolong tea, you already mentioned dark chocolate. These natural substances that these foods contain are what we call functional nutrients. They go to work in specific ways in the body, either prevent things, maybe, for example, cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts. They contain natural detoxifiers that can take carcinogens, cancer-causing substances, and basically disarm them.
Wow.
You know, and then help them clear out of the body. And they can also prevent a cancer cell from mutating and growing. So it's just so exciting and fascinating. And what we just learned recently, too, is that some of the studies that are done to assess the antioxidant levels of food haven't been done perhaps as thoroughly as they could have been done. So, for example, there are certain antioxidants that end up, you know, typically these are done in laboratories. And what they have found is that the way that they're testing them, some of the antioxidants may bind to some of the fiber. And so when they test for them, they're not detecting those because they're still bind to the little fibrous portion of the fruit or vegetable or whole grain or nut or bean. And then when they actually look at that, those do become available in the body. Now, fiber we don't digest or absorb, but some of those antioxidants may detach from the fiber in our gut and end up becoming bioavailable or absorbable later on in the digestive process. So we may be getting more antioxidants out of certain foods than we even know of, and the antioxidant levels that are available to the blood may be higher for certain foods than we even think.
Now, do you recommend a primarily vegetarian diet then?
I do. And I think, you know, everyone has to find a way of eating that they can live with. So, for example, I am a vegetarian. I have been for over 20 years. My husband is not. He's sort of a flexitarian.
I'm kind of a flexitarian. So,
yeah. And, you know, when I first met him, and my husband is just the greatest, greatest guy. We're actually having our 12th wedding anniversary this Saturday.
Oh, good. My ninth is yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And, you know, he has lost over 50 pounds since we met, and he's kept it off.
Terrific.
And so it's such a wonderful thing because I, of course, want him to live a long, healthy life and be with me. And, you know, so I'm very excited that he's taken a lot more control over his health. But when I first met him, he ate a lot more meat and dairy products and a lot less fruits and vegetables and wasn't really quite into the whole grain thing. So he's made a lot of changes that he's sustained. So for him, he probably eats meat maybe 2 or 3 days a week. And then the other days of the week, he'll, you know, go ahead and eat the bean-based meals with me.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, see, when you look at something like animal products, beef, chicken, pork, I certainly recommend that if you do eat those, you eat organic or grass-fed. It's kind of sometimes hard to find organic and grass-fed.
Mm-hmm.
Those tend to be a lot more nutrient-rich, a lot higher in the good-for-you fats and lower in the bad-for-you fats. And, you know, the animals tend to be leaner and healthier animals because of the way that they're fed and cared for. But I think that what we're finding, the American Institute for Cancer Research, and, you know, certainly all those organizations out there that really track the link between diet and disease, are finding that the more you go on the plant-based kind of spectrum, the increased protection you have, and the more exposure your body has to all of these hundreds of natural chemicals that are in food that really have direct on a daily basis effects on our health and have a cumulative effect over time. So if you added up all the servings of fruits and vegetables that a person should have but didn't have over their lifetime for the average person, it would fill an entire football field.
Wow, my gosh.
Yeah. So really right now, only 25% of American adults meet the minimum recommended servings for fruits and vegetables. And only about 10% of Americans are getting the minimum whole grain servings. So we're not really doing all that well as a whole. we certainly find that when you swap out meat for a bean-based meal, all of a sudden you've got more fiber, you've got no cholesterol, because cholesterol is only found in animal foods. You have almost no saturated fat, maybe half a gram at the most. You have tons of antioxidants. In fact, some studies have shown that red beans, black beans carry more antioxidants than blueberries. And you've got a good amount of protein there, maybe not quite as much as a muscle meat. But you've also got a lot of other substances, like, for example, resistant starch. This is something you didn't know about when I was first in school. Resistant starch is a type of carbohydrate that acts similar to a fiber. We don't really digest it or absorb it well, but it's functional. It ends up acting as a prebiotic, so it builds the probiotic bacteria in your gut that we know are linked to immune health and better digestion, and perhaps even weight loss now. We're finding that those probiotics may be linked to reducing the absorbability of certain types of calories, so we don't have to worry about burning them or storing them as fat. So all kinds of amazing benefits when you just make a few swap outs. So if you're not going to be a vegetarian or vegan, perhaps you can become a flexitarian.
Yes, good. You are so amazing. I am so mesmerized, and I have another guest at 10. So we were supposed to talk about sports dietetics, so I want you to come back, and I'd love to talk to you about coming back regularly because
you are
fabulous. I mean,
you're just
a fountain of just you know so much, and you're just fabulous. Oh my, see, I'm flustered because you're just so great. So I want to thank you. Now, I'm going to email you later today, and I want to get you on regularly. And in the meantime, how can people contact you?
They can go to my website, which is just my name, CynthiaSass.com, and it's like sassy without the Y on the my last name. I am going to be building a new website that will be more interactive and have tips and videos and recipes and things for people. Hopefully, you know, these things take so much longer than you think they're going to. But for right now, there are links to articles that I've written. There are links to my blog and videos of interviews that I've done. So there's some good information there for people at CynthiaSass.com.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, just, you know, me looking at the introduction, I mean, it's no wonder you've been on all these incredible shows. You really have so much to offer. Now, if people want to get in touch with me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Now, keep listening because coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Jay Kruger from The Biggest Loser Season 5. It's going to be a lot of fun. He's a really great guy. So have a great week. Keep being healthy. Bye-bye.